So today we are very fortunate that we are having Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji to enlighten us on Valmiki Ramayana. And now Yuddha Kanda is going on. So Mataji will give us the next about the pastimes of Lord Ram. So Mataji, you can take over the class and thank you so much for giving your valuable instructions on Ramayana, the teachings of the Lord Ram, instruct us from his own life. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. And our pranams to everyone on the call. So we are continuing to read from Valmiki Ramayana. So I'll start off with the prayers. Om Ajnana Tinirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunnimitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pambam Langayate Girin Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatharinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanatha Swaminiti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Deshtarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Pujantam Rama Rameti Maduram Madurakshram Aruhya Kavita Shakam Vande Valmiki Kokilam Valmikir Munisimhasya Kavita Vanacharina Shrinvan Rama Kathanatam Konayate Param Gatim Veda Vedye Parepumse Jati Dashratatmaje Veda Prachita Sadasve Sakshat Ramayanatmana Anjananandanam Veedam Janaki Shokanashanam Tatisha Makshahantaram Vande Lanka Bhayankaram Manojavam Marutatulya Vegam Jitendriyam Buddhimatam Varishtam Vadatmajam Vanarayudamukhyam Shri Ramadutam Shirasanamami Anjaneya Madhipatanananam Kanchanadri Kamaniya Vigraham Parijata Tarumulavasinam Bhavayami Bhavamananandanam Yatra Yatra Raghunatha Kirtanam Tatra Tatra Krita Mastakanjalim Bhashpavari Paripurna Rochanam Marutim Namata Rakshasantakam Shri Raghavam Dasharathatmajam Aprameyam Sita Patir Yadukulanmaya Ratna Deepam Ajarubahum Aravinda Dayala Daksham Ramam Nishachara Vinashakam Namami Hare Krishna. So in the previous class, we saw the first part of Yuddha Kanda. So in that class, we stopped at a point where Vibhishan, he left the company of Ravana, he left his palace, and he decided to go and take shelter of Lord Sri Ramchandra. So Vibhishan, along with four of his associates, his loyal followers, they didn't like whatever Ravana was doing, so they decided to leave. So the five of them, Vibhishan along with his four associates, they rose up to the sky and then they flew across the ocean and they reached the shore of the ocean where all the monkeys were stationed. So they had come there actually to take shelter of Lord Ram. Now, seeing Sugriva and the other monkeys there near the shore, Vibhishan, he started speaking to them. So he was, he had come all the way from Lanka and he was very intelligent. He didn't land on the shore, rather he was stationed in the middle of the sky so that the monkeys don't get alarmed. So he was standing there and he spoke to them saying that I am the brother of Ravana and actually I tried advising him that he should give back Sita, but he just didn't listen to me. So I didn't have any other choice. So I've left this company and I've come here. This is where we stopped in the previous class. And then he says, why he has come here? Okay, he was not happy, so he came. But what do we plan to accomplish by coming to the other side of the shore? That he says in a very beautiful verse, which is one of the very famous verses of Valmiki Ramayana. It's like this. It says, Nividayata Mamshipram Ragavaya Mahatmane Sarvaloka Sharanyaya Vibhishanam Upastitam. So Vibhishana says, please go and inform Raghava immediately. Raghava, who is the greatest of all and who is the protector of all the three worlds, that I, Vibhishana, have come here. So in one sentence, Vibhishana praises Lord Ram as Raghava, Mahatma, and Sarvaloka Shabanya. And the verse we see, Nivedayata Mam Shipram Raghavaya Mahatmane Sarvaloka Sharanyaya Vidhishanam Upasthitam. That means Lord Ram is Raghava, he is also Mahatma, and he is also Sarvaloka Sharanya. That means the whole world goes and surrenders to him. So he talks about three aspects of the Supreme Lord. So first of all, in the beginning of the sentence, he tells Sugriva, please go and inform immediately. So Vibhishana is asking Sugriva to hurry and go and tell Ram that he is here to surrender. So we have all taken this human form of life after so many births, and this human form of life is very, very rare. And the perfection of human life, as the Brahma Sutras begin with, it says, Athato Brahma Jignyasa. So now that you are here, inquire unto the Supreme. So it is not that if we just inquire about the Supreme, it is enough. We must also surrender. So we have heard a million times this verse from Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityachama Vikam Sharanam Raja. Krishna says, surrender. So we must understand that surrender is not something we postpone. It should be done very fast. So your Vibhishana is demonstrating that. He's coming here and he's telling Sugriva, go and do Shipram, go fast. Tell Ram that I'm here to surrender. Don't waste any time. So that's how he begins the sentence. Then he calls Ram by three names. And each of these names have a particular meaning why he's calling Ram by these three names. First, he calls Ram as Raghava. Now, Raghava means, we all know, he's a descendant of the Raghu dynasty, or the Surya Vamsha. We have King Raghu, and his descendant is Raghava. So that is Lord Ramchandra, whom he's addressing here. Now, he calls Ram as Raghava, means the Lord whom I'm going to surrender is Raghava. He's very, very easily approachable because he's the son of the Raghu dynasty. He's one among us. He's now right here in front of me and he's very easily accessible. So I can approach him easily. He's not someone whom you have no idea about. So even for us, with the mercy of Guru Sadhu and Shastra, we all have a good amount of information about God. Who is God? What is his name? What is his form, characteristics, pastimes? All this we have information. So Vibhishana says, I'm here to surrender to that Lord who's waiting for me, because we all know how much Krishna, he's more than we trying to reach the Lord. The Lord is more enthusiastic to get us back. So here Vibhishana is saying, Raghava is so easily accessible and he's waiting for me to come. So hoping that I will surrender someday. So I've come to surrender to that simple Lord. So that's why he calls first Ram Raghava. Then he also addresses him as Mahatma. So it is not that the Lord is just some simple man, who's easily accessible. He's just not that. He's not just a Kshatriya king who's one among us. But not only is he easily approachable, but also he's a Mahatma. Here, Vibhishana is saying he's the greatest of all. He's actually the Paramatma. He's the super soul of all living beings and he's the most worshipable Supreme Lord. So he calls him Raghava. Immediately he calls him Mahatma. Then he's not only Mahatma, but what is the relationship between him and us? He's Sarvaloka Sharanyaya. That means he's the only shelter for all living beings that is there in all three worlds. So to that Lord I have come to surrender. So please, Sugriva, go immediately and tell him that Vibhishana has come. So in this particular verse, Vibhishana is describing the quality of a person to whom we must surrender. So we don't go and surrender to everybody. We go and surrender to the right person. And what are the qualities of that person? That Vibhishan is telling in this one verse where he calls Ramachandra by different names and he talks about his eagerness to surrender, how hurried he is that he wants to surrender as soon as possible. Now, we saw about the qualification, the person to whom we can surrender. So, who can surrender? Actually, this whole class, as I had put on the post, will be about Vibhishana Sharanagati, that is Vibhishan surrender. So the whole class will be about the aspect of Sharanagati. So now we'll see, now we saw to whom we surrender. Now we have to see who can surrender, okay? Who is qualified to surrender? So what is the qualification? If you think about it, just see who has come here. He's a demon. Vibhishan is a demon. A demon has come to surrender. So that means there's actually no prerequisite for surrender. Anyone can surrender. A bird can surrender. An animal can surrender. A woman can surrender. A man can surrender. Even a demon can surrender. So one doesn't have to be from any particular family. You don't have to be a pundit. You don't have to be someone who's very strong, Shaktiman. You don't have to be that. You don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be poor. No, everybody is qualified. Just like when we chant the holy names, we can chant at any time, any place, any circumstance, and anyone can chant. Similarly, for a person who's surrendering to the Lord, he can do it at any time, in any situation. Just take the case of Draupadi. Draupadi, she surrendered to Krishna and called out the holy names of Krishna in full surrender when she was in the Kuru Sabha, not a very great circumstance and not a very great place. And not only that, her bodily condition was that she was out of the altar, you know, those few days of the month. She was during that condition, but still at that time she chose to surrender. So there is no impediment. Okay, this is a problem, that is a problem, you haven't taken bath, you are not clean. No, nothing is a problem. Everything is all right when you have decided to surrender. Think of Gajendra. Gajendra was an animal, first of all. He was in the body of an animal. He was not in the temple or in Vrindavan Dham, or he was not in Mathura Dham trying to surrender. No. He called out to the Lord when he was stuck in the water with his leg bleeding. He called out to the Supreme Lord. So again, there is no time, place, circumstance that is important for surrender. All that you need is you should have the desire to surrender. So when Vibhishan came there, he could have followed all the rules and regulations because he just crossed the ocean, right? He could have taken a bath in the ocean. He could have finished his japa, sandhya vandan, everything. And then he could have come and said, "Oh Ram, I surrender." No, even that is not a prerequisite. So when you have decided to surrender, the surrender should be done in a very hurried fashion. You should not look at so many things. All that you need is you need to surrender to the Lord. But then what is really required? Yes, desire is required. Other than that, there are a few things which is required for favorable surrender. Okay, actually in this situation, Ram says, anyone who comes to me and says, I'm surrendering, I will accept. So that is the magnanimity. Even if he's trying to fake it, I will accept him. You know, that's what actually Ram says. Because it's the greatness of the Lord. But actually, there are certain things that will be nice if we follow for perfect surrender. So what is that? What is that which is really required? We must be aware of whom we are surrendering to. That is very important, actually. This is actually very, very important. We must surrender to the right person, not some random unqualified person. It should actually be only the Supreme Lord to whom we are surrendering. So the person who is surrendering, what are the qualifications that he should favorably have? This person who is surrendering should be akinchana. Akinchana means na kinchana. Kinchana means something. So akinchana means one who has nothing to possess. He is called as na kinchana, akinchana. One who is fully convinced that nothing belongs to me, he is akinchana. Now the examples we took the example of Vibhishan, we took the example of Draupadi, we took the example of Gajendra. So at the point of surrender, they didn't have anything. Just think of their situation. They just didn't have anything. They had the thought, nothing belongs to me. I'm completely surrendered to the Lord. So he has the understanding that everything is Krishna's. If one becomes a devotee of Krishna, yasyasthi bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. Akinchana means pridelessness. That's why Krishna's another name is Akinchana Gochara. We have actually seen this in some of our previous classes of Chaitanya Charitamrita about the aspect of Akinchana Gochara of the Lord. So the Lord can be understood only by one who is Akinchana, who thinks himself as very, very humble and meek, saying, I don't have any pride, I don't have anything with me, everything is Krishna. So such a person can actually surrender. So besides being Akinchana, he must also be Ananya Bhak, Prabhupada says, Ananya Bhak means without deviating his attention to any other demigod or any other business. So Ananya Bhak means simply concentrating on Krishna. That is required. Ananyaya means without any deviation. And what is the deviation? Deviation is that sometimes we are inclined to become a devotee for some material benefits. So it is said that Ananya Bhakti means without any deviation, without any material profit, you have to become a pure devotee. Then you can attain the spiritual world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has written a very famous set of verses. It's called as the Sharanagati poetry, which is very famous. There he stresses on certain points. There he says, Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyam Vivarchanam. That means this devotional service means to accept favorable things and reject whatever is unfavorable. That is called Sharanagati. Surrender means to accept favorable things. How can I make progress towards Krishna? And Pratikulya means rejecting unfavorable things that is not favorable for my Krishna consciousness, progress in Krishna consciousness. Rakshishyati iti vishwasa palanam. And I have to have firm faith that Krishna will give me protection. Krishna will surely give me protection. So this is the qualification of a person who wants to surrender. He should be akinchana and he should be ananya bhak. And he should have firm faith that Krishna will give him protection. He should give up unfavorable things, take up favorable things. So we may be in many difficult situations, but we must always remember Krishna will save. Krishna will save. This is Sharanagati. Avashya Rakshibhe Krishna Vishwasa Palana. That is Sharanagati. Sharanagati means surrender. Krishna will save me and I will not do anything against devotional service, even if there is torture. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he was tortured by his father, Devaki. Krishna's mother was tortured by her own brother, not some outsider, but her own brother. Kamsa was thinking, this Devaki is going to be a challenge for my personal sense gratification, so I will finish her. But we have to be sure that Krishna will save. We have got so many instances, just as Prahlad Maharaj was saved by Narasimhadev from the hands of his father Hiranyakashipu. Devaki and Vasudev were saved from the hands of Kamsa. So one who surrenders will surely be protected by the Lord, and we should have the confidence that the Lord will protect. So this is about the process of Sharanagati. What is it that we should have when we say we are doing Sharana, when we are surrendering to the Lord? Now, the complete details about the process of Sharanagati is actually covered in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 22. We are yet to finish chapter 19. So when we come to chapter 22, we will go through this process of Sharanagati. It is described in a particular verse that goes like this. It says, Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam Rakshishyasi Iti Vishwaso Gotratve Varanam Thata Atma Nikshepa Karpanye Shadvita Saranagati. So the six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things that are favorable to devotion, rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, and full self-surrender and humility. So these are the six steps of surrender, or the six divisions of surrender, which is very, very important for a devotee. So coming back to the story, this is so much about Sharanagati. Who is qualified to surrender? Who is qualified to be surrendered? And then we saw the divisions of Sharanagati. What are the expectations for Sharanagati? Now, coming back to the story, we see that here there is another thing Vibhishana is demonstrating. Vibhishana doesn't go directly and surrender to Lord Ram. He requests Sugriva. He tells Sugriva, you go tell Ram that I want to surrender. So we see that we need the mercy of another devotee to reach the lotus feet of the Lord. So he demonstrates even that. Not only does he demonstrate the right qualifications for surrender, but he also tells Sugriva, you go please tell Ram. Tell some nice words about me. Recommend me to the Lord. So like this, Vibhishan came to surrender to the Lord by asking Sugriva. Now, what happened when Sugriva heard these words? Now, this was quite interesting. So Sugriva, when he heard these words of Vibhishana, he went running to Lord Ram and Lakshman And he hurriedly told them, oh, there's an enemy who has come here and he belongs to Ravana's army. And he surely comes here to kill all of us at the first opportunity. These demons, they are very, very, unpredictable. Sometimes they can assume any form and they can even disappear. They are so strong, they are so deceitful. You cannot trust them at any time. He may be a spy of Ravana. So he will surely succeed to become a member among us and create some differences. And there is no doubt about this. There is absolutely no doubt about this. This Vibhishana has actually come here. And you know who Vibhishana is? Vibhishana is a demon. He is the brother of Ravana. He is our enemy. How can we trust him? He is the younger brother of Ravana. And Vibhishana has come here along with four other demons. And they have come here saying that they want to take your refuge. They are claiming that they are here to surrender to you. So Sugriva, he seems to have given a completely different picture of Vibhishan to Ram. But however, Sugriva's intention was not that he was against Vibhishan or something. It was just that he was trying to be protective of Lord Ram. He was also a devotee. So he was feeling, I should be very protective. I should take care of Ram. So that was the mood. So he was, he didn't feel very comfortable with a demon coming suddenly and saying, I'm going to surrender to the Lord. So he felt very uncomfortable about the whole thing. And he went and cautioned Ram, saying that, oh no, a demon has come, we better be careful. Then Sugriva said, oh Ram, you know what is right. You're very, very merciful. Anyone who comes to you, even if he does any harm, if he does anything wrong, immediately you forgive him. So that is your quality. You're very merciful. But you don't take this light. This demon is not, whatever he's doing, I'm not comfortable with it. I feel he has some other intentions. So I'm sure Ravana has sent this Vibhishan, and this Vibhishan should be arrested and killed. So that is the opinion of Sugriva. So after silently listening to what Sugriva had to say, Ram was thinking in his mind now how to protect this Vibhishan. And Sugriva on his part was thinking in his mind how to protect this Ram. So very sweet relationships. That's how devotees are. One devotee is trying to protect the Lord. The Lord is trying to protect another devotee. So there is a lot of different kinds of emotions going on. Then Ram looked at all the other monkeys who were sitting there with Hanuman, and he said, actually, whatever Sugriva has spoken is very reasonable. It's very reasonable. The first thing, you suddenly see a person from the enemy's army come here, you are bound to suspect. Whatever he said is correct. But I want to hear your opinion also. I would like to hear from all of you what you feel. What is your advice? What is your opinion about Vibhishan? So by now, Ram's face, he was feeling a little low because already Sugriva said, arrest him, kill him. Ram was not very happy with that. So his lotus-like face was a little wrinkled. So seeing that his face had changed a bit, the other monkeys, they didn't want to be so heavy. But they also gave the same opinion. They also said the same thing, but in a very tallish manner. So all the monkeys, they started talking. They said, Ram, it's not that you don't know anything. Nothing is unknown to you in all these three worlds. But still, you're consulting with us with a very friendly heart. That is your nature. It's a big honor to us. Even Krishna, when he was in Dwaraka, he used to consult with his ministers. Like he used to ask Uddhava, what do you think I should do? Should I go to the Rajasuya Yajna or should I go and face Jarasandha? Like that, the Lord... his quality is like that. He sincerely asks with a very friendly heart. He asks everyone around him for their opinion. So like this, he asked the monkeys. And the monkeys felt very honored. They said, so nice of you, you're asking us. And Angada, who was the young and very intelligent boy there, he told Ram, Ramchandra, you must arrange for an examination of Vibhishan beforehand. So he must write an entrance exam. That's what Angada said. He said, Vibhishana has come here from an enemy's side. So first of all, he must be doubted. And one should not keep full trust on a person so soon. So let's keep an exam. If he passes in that exam, We can accept him. But if there are some faults seen in that examination, if he doesn't pass, we will reject him. So this was the opinion given by Angada. Then Sharabha, one of the other monkeys, he said, let us send a spy and investigate his intentions. Then we can accept him. Then Jambavan, very intelligent, very well-learned Jambavan, on his part, he said, if you look at the situation based from scriptures, this Vibhishan has come from Ravana, who's your enemy. And that too at the wrong place and wrong time. Just think about this. He didn't even stand by his brother during the time of his crisis. Hanuman has just burnt Lanka, and at this time, Ravana is in a very bad condition. He's very helpless. So during this time, this Vibhishan should have been giving his shoulder to his brother. Instead, he has come here. So how can we trust him? If he has come here, then what is the guarantee that he won't do the same thing to us? So he should be suspected. Then Mainda, another monkey, said, he was very scared in discriminating good and bad character. So he said, Ramchandra, if you observe this matter very carefully, Vibhishana is the younger brother of Ravana. So we should not accept him openly like that. We'll slowly start questioning him by sweet words, and then we'll find out his intention. Just because he's saying he's surrendering, we cannot accept him without knowing his intentions. So like this, all the monkeys, in a very polished manner, they said the same thing again and again. The only thing is they didn't openly say kill him, arrest him. They said it in different ways. They said, no, 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 we cannot accept him. We have to keep a test. We have to see what his intentions are. I'm not too sure, like that. So then Ram, he silently listened to all of them, and then he finally looked at Hanuman. Because Hanuman at this time was very silently listening. And Hanuman was the only one who had gone to Lanka, and he had seen everything firsthand, and he was the only one who knew about Vibhishan. Because Vibhishan and Ravana's assembly argued with Ravana and told Ravana not to kill Hanuman, who had come as a messenger. And Hanuman knew the heart of Vibhishan very well. Because later when Hanuman was burning Lanka, remember he spared Vibhishana's house. Because he had a very good opinion about Vibhishan. So Hanuman, he knew the real character of Vibhishan. So then finally, Hanuman began to speak. Hanuman, who's the best of all counselors, he spoke in his sweet fashion. Brief words, very sweet, very meaningful words. He said, O King, O Ram, I am not talking now for the sake of argument or for the sake of competition or because I am a superior or out of passion for debate. I am just speaking on account of the importance of the matter in hand. So, according to me, I see a problem. I see an error in whatever was advised by all of your counselors. First and foremost thing, it is not possible for such a judicious investigation into his character. Without entrusting any work, it is not possible to understand a person's ability. But at the same time, it becomes a mistake on us to entrust any work to a stranger so fast. Okay? So first and foremost thing, such a situation is not possible. Now, whatever was told to you by a counselor that you must send spies to Vibhishana, that action is also not practically possible. You know, at this time and situation where he's stationed here, how are you going to send spies to find out what his intentions are? That won't work. And one more thing. They said Vibhishana has come at the wrong time and wrong place. So in this matter, I want to express my thought. Just listen to it. The place and time that Vibhishan has chosen is actually very perfect. At this point, Vibhishan has understood that you are superior to Ravana. He's also found merits in you and demerits in Ravana. So it is very appropriate for him to arrive only at this place and this time by seeing the prowess in you and seeing the wickedness in Ravana. So it's totally worthy of his judgment to come now. Now, a person who has come to surrender will not see time, place, and circumstance. We just saw the conditions of surrender. So, Hanuman is saying, a person who has come to surrender, he will come and surrender. That's all. He's not going to see, is this a good time? Is this the right place? No. So in fact, that is the beauty of surrender, right? So he says, in whatever was told by a counselor that Vibhishana should be questioned by his spies and all that, a wise man, when he's questioned suddenly, he'll become very apprehensive on that questioning. So in those circumstances, easily a friend becomes faithless upon seeing deceitful questioning. He's come with a friendly manner. Now, if you start questioning him like this, he will lose faith in us. So he will then become more deceitful. So we should not give opportunity for him to become like that. So my Ram, my dear Ram, I will tell you one thing. We can easily make out whether a person is sincere or not. I'm not seeing any bad intention in his talk. He's speaking very clearly. He's not hiding anything. His face is also bright, so I don't doubt him. A deceitful person does not approach so fearlessly and so confidently. And if at all he has a different agenda, he wouldn't have come out this boldly. First of all, he would have sent someone to assess things about us, and then later with a plan, he would have come here. But I see him coming very straightforward, in a very straightforward manner. He's not stammering. He's very clear in what he's speaking. His expression is not bad. I really don't see any doubt. I mean, I don't have any doubt on him. So it is not possible for a person to hide all the expression on his face, even if he's trying to conceal it. So by force, the internal intent of that person slowly gets revealed. I didn't see such things on his face. So he's actually come here with a very sincere intention. So he's seeing how much you're persevering, how much you're trying to get Sita, and he's seeing the wrong conduct of Ravana. He's hearing about your glories and he's deliberately come here with full surrender. So I think this is enough. We should accept him. This is what I sincerely feel. But however, I'm just telling you my opinion, and you are the final judge of the issue, so you tell me what we can do. So after hearing the words of Sugriva, Hanuman and everyone else, Ram carefully took in everything, and then he told the monkeys, I also wish to tell my opinion about Vibhishan. So all of you are very, very concerned about my welfare, and all of you have spoken very valid words. So Ram took one point from each of the main speakers. So Ram said, he accepted the point made by Sugriva that Vibhishan is a demon. He cannot be trusted, right? That's the main point that Sugriva was making. Ram accepted that. Yes, Vibhishan is a demon. We cannot keep full trust in him. But he also accepted the point made by Hanuman is still we have to accept him. So Ram, he said, I take whatever you all have told, okay? So he took two valid points made by both of them. Ram said, by any means, I do not desert anyone who arrives with a friendly appearance, even if he has a serious defect. He must be accepted whoever he may be. Even if he's Vibhishana, even if he's a demon, even if he has wrong intentions, I will accept him. What does it matter whether the demon is very good or bad? Actually, even if he's bad, he's incapable of doing even a little harm to me. If Sugriva, don't worry, if I wish, I can kill all these demons, Pishashas, Rakshasas, everyone on earth, just with the tip of my finger. Lord Ram was very determined to give shelter to anyone who surrenders to him even once. Then Ram, he started narrating a very interesting story from Shastras. He said, okay, now I've heard from all of you, your opinion, I've consulted with all of you. I would also like to refer to Shastras and listen to what sadhus have said. So this is something that Ram does every time. Even in the previous chapters, we have seen how Ram always refers to Shastra. He asks the rishis and sages their opinion and then he takes a decision. Now after consulting with everyone, next Ram goes to the next step. He talks from Shastra. So he says, there is a story narrated in the Shastras about a pigeon and a hunter. Once there lived a male and a female pigeon in a tree, and one day a hunter came and he killed the female pigeon with his arrows. So the male pigeon was left all alone. But after some months had passed, on a rainy day, the hunter came to the same tree. He was drenched and he was shivering in cold, And he was very, very hungry because he didn't get any food for a very long time from hunting for several days. So that male pigeon was sitting in the same tree, and to get rid of the cold, the hunter had actually lit a fire there near the tree. And on seeing that the hunter was starving from hunger and he was shivering and he was almost on the verge of death, what did the pigeon do? The pigeon decided to serve his guest who had come to his tree, his tree house, by falling into the fire and becoming the hunter's food. So the story is mentioned in Shastra. Now Ram stopped and he told Sugriva, Sugriva, the male and female pigeon are like myself and Sita. Now Ravana is the hunter. In the story, the female pigeon was killed, but here Sita has been carried away and kidnapped. In the story, the same hunter has come back to the tree, but here only Ravana's brother Vibhishna has come back with good intentions to surrender. There, the hunter did not come to surrender, but here Vibhishna has come to surrender to me. So in the story, the pigeon had to give up its life. But here, I don't have to give up my life. All that I have to do is just accept him. So my situation is far lot better, and I do want to become lower than that pigeon in my actions. So Ram, he was a descendant of Shibi Maharaj. We have all heard the story of Shibi from Srimad Bhagavatam. Shribi, he gave his flesh to a pigeon. After all, what am I doing? I'm just giving shelter to Vibhishan. This was the argument that Lord Ram had. Then Ram continued. So this is a story from Shastra. Next, he tells what sadhus say, what great rishis say. He says, Khandu Rishi has given this advice. He's told, if one has come begging with folding hands, if he's in a miserable condition, such a person who is begging and who is seeking refuge should never be killed. One should never be cruel to him. An enemy who comes for protection against others, even if the enemy is oppressed or arrogant, he has to be protected by one who has a good mind, even if he has to abandon his own life. Even if the person who is giving shelter has to abandon his own life because of the arrogance of the enemy, but still he has to give shelter to the enemy. So that is what Khandu Rishi has told. This is the advice of sadhus. And then Lord Sri Ramachandra, he spoke one of the most beautiful verses of the entire Ramayana. Actually, Ram has spoken certain verses which are very celebrated in this chapter that comes during the time of Vibhishan's surrender. So one of the very famous verse, or the famous verse of the entire Ramayana, you can say, is this verse of Sharanagati and Ram's assurance that he says, Sakriteva prapannaya tava asmi iti chayachate abhayam sarvabhutebhyo dadamiye tatvaratam mama. He who seeks refuge in me just once, telling me that I am yours, I shall give him assurance of safety against all types of beings, and this is my solemn pledge. Etad vratam mama, I have taken the solemn pledge. O Sugriva, chief of monkeys, listen to me. Let them be anyone. Let them be Vibhishana or even Ravana himself. I've given an assurance of safety to him, so bring him here. And besides this, actually there are three shlokas spoken by Ram, which is considered as the most celebrated verses of this section. So I'll just read those three verses because they're very meaningful and very assuring to all of us. And these verses are considered as the gems of the Sharanagati verses. So I'll just read that. Ramchandra says, Pishachandana van rakshas yakshan prithivyam chai rakshasan anguli agrena tanharyam ichan hari ganeshwaram. O Sugriva, lord of monkey troops, if I wish, I can kill all those pishachas, yakshas, danavas, rakshasas living on earth just with a tip of my finger. So don't worry, Sugriva, no one can harm us. Mitra bhavena sampraptam na tyajeyam kathanchana dosho yadi apitasya syat satam etad agrahitam. By any means, I do not desert anyone who arrives with a friendly appearance, even if he has a defect. His acceptance is considered as perfect in the eyes of all good men, that is, in the eyes of sadhus. Next, the famous, most famous verse, which is Sakadeva prapannaya eva asmi iti chayachate abhayam sarvabhutebhyo dadami yedat kratam mama. He who seeks refuge in me just once, telling me that I am yours, I shall give him assurance of safety against everybody. This is my solemn pledge. So these three sentences are considered as the best sentences spoken by Lord Ram in the entire Ramayana for the benefit of all the devotees. So actually these verses, they were reminding me of Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj's class. In one class in Atlanta, he was telling that he asked everyone a question. He asked a question saying, what do you think is the greatest qualification that one must have to receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? This is the question he asked. And the answer given was, actually the only qualification that a person must have to receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is that he must be the most fallen. That is the biggest qualification a person must have. Now, we can all say, oh, we are all the most fallen, but not only should we have the qualification that we are the most fallen, but we must also have the realization that we are really fallen. Sometimes, though we are most fallen, we don't have any realization that we are fallen. We think we are great. But for a person who really has the realization that I am the most fallen, he is the most qualified to receive Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So in a similar mood, Lord Ramachandra says, whoever he may be, especially if he is the most fallen, if he says, I am yours, I've come here to surrender, I will simply accept him. I will protect him. So that is about Lord Ram talking about surrender. So after Sugriva heard all these beautiful words from the lotus mouth of Lord Ram, he understood Ram's heart and he was very convinced with Ram's answers. And he was so happy listening to the magnanimity of Lord Ram. He told he was very, very happy. He was so happy. His face was brightened. And then Lord Ram told Sugriva, now that you're convinced, please go and bring Vibhishan here. And his safety is assured. Even if Ravana has come here, you know, if you go back, see, we have been talking for so long and Vibhishan is still standing on the sky there. And he's very concerned. He's not knowing what's happening between the two of us. Now, when you go back, suddenly, even if you see Ravana, and even if Ravana wants to surrender, please bring him here without any thinking. Don't have a second thought. Just bring everyone. Let them all surrender. So he tells this, and he tells Sugriva not to wait anymore and go and bring Vibhishana immediately. Now, the case of Vibhishana. Vibhishana was still standing there in the middle of the sky. He had left his palace. He had left the shelter of his brother Ravan. And he had come here in search of Ram, but he had not yet received the Lord's mercy. So he was waiting there. So his situation was like that, like he wasn't stuck in the middle. So he was neither here nor was he there. The darkness had gone. That means he had given up the company of Ravana. But the sun had not yet risen. He had not yet received Lord Ram's mercy. He was somewhat in between. He was standing there. He was very anxious. He was waiting. He was waiting to receive the mercy of Lord Ram and take shelter of his lotus feet. So finally, Sugriva went there and happily asked Vibhishan to come. Again, here we see that Vibhishan, he went and asked a devotee to recommend him. First he came and asked Sugriva, please go recommend me. And I want to take shelter of the Lord. Now we see that the same devotee is holding his hand and taking him to the Lord. Sugriva took the responsibility of taking Vibhishan to go and see Lord Ram. Now, Vibhishan, he came down very happily from the sky. And all of them, they were taken by Sugriva to the vicinity of Lord Ram. So Vibhishan, as soon as he went near the Lord, all the four of them, all the four demons and Vibhishana, all the five of them, they all fell flat at the lotus feet of Lord Ram. Ram raised them. And Vibhishana told Ram, I'm the younger brother of Ravana and I was humiliated by him. I've come here and I seek refuge in you. You are the refuge for all beings. So, I am the younger brother of, he went and told, I am the younger brother of Ravana and I was humiliated by him and I have come here and I seek refuge in you. I know that you are the refuge of all living beings. So, abandoning Lanka, my friends, my possessions, my kingdom, my life, my happiness, everything, I am here to be at your disposal. You can do anything with me. So when Vibhishana said these beautiful words, Ram's heart melted. And he spoke very soothing and very consoling words, like as if he was applying medicine to the pain in Vibhishana's heart, with love drenched in his eyes. So Ram had completely accepted him. So then Ram, he started asking Vibhishana further questions. And he asked Vibhishana, so tell me really about the strength and the weaknesses of the demons. Now, at this point, the way Ram asks this question is also very interesting. Ram doesn't say, tell me, he just says, tell me about the strengths and the weaknesses of the demons. He doesn't tell Vibhishan, tell me about your family, tell me about your associates, your Lanka, your brother. No, he doesn't talk like that. At this point, Ram has completely accepted Vibhishan as his own. So he says, tell me about them. Tell me about those demons, like that Ram asks. Remember when Shurpanaga, she came and introduced herself to Ram in the previous chapters, she also said, I am the great demon Ravana's sister, but I also have another brother Vibhishan, who is a Novia demon, and he's a total disgrace to the demon family. So Vibhishan, he never had the qualities of the demon. He was very, very sincere in what he was doing. So Ram had completely understood the heart of Vibhishana and he had accepted Vibhishana. Now then, when he was questioned like this by Lord Ram, Vibhishan, he started telling about the detailed strength of Ravana. He said, O Prince Ram, because of a special boon given by Brahma, Ravana cannot be killed by all kinds of beings like Gandharvas or serpents or birds or all these demigods. No one can actually kill Ravana except human beings. Because Ravana was under the impression that a human cannot do anything to him, because he thought human beings are like too little to do anything to him. Just like how Bhaktichara Maharaj, he says, just like for us, how we, when we look at an ant, we think, oh, what can this ant do? I can just crush the ant with my finger. So like that, Ravana, he was like, yeah, human beings, they can't do anything to me, but I want protection from the rest of them. So he had a boon that nobody else could do anything to him. And regarding, and also Vibhishan, he also described the detailed strength of Kumbhakarna, how Kumbhakarna can defeat oceans and oceans of warriors in no time. He spoke about Indrajit, how he can appear and disappear when needed, and he had some very special weapons and boons. And he spoke about the strength of Prahashta and so many other demons. And regarding weaknesses, he said Ravana, the greatest weakness of Ravana is that he's too proud. And he has a huge bag of sin. First of all, he's kidnapped Sita Devi. That is enough for him. So he's got a lot of sins accumulated in him. And he's very proud. He thinks he can do anything. So this is the greatest weakness. So now, after Ram had carefully heard what Vibhishana had to say, he told, my dear Vibhishana, I totally understand whatever you have said. And I know whatever you have said is very true. But listen to me. After killing Ravana along with Prahastha and his son Indrajit and all the other demons, I will make you the king. Not only that, there itself, Lord Ram called Lakshmana to come there and asked him to get water from the ocean. And there itself, he coronated Vibhishana as the king of Lanka. So he had consecrated Vibhishan on the other side of the ocean even before he crossed Lanka, even before he built a bridge, even before he went and waged a war with Ravana. Here itself, he declared Vibhishan as the king, and he consecrated him also there itself. So Lord Ram, sometimes he does this. By doing this particular action, he showed that he's actually the supreme lord. He didn't even build a bridge. He didn't even do anything, but still he said this is what it is. So once in a while, Ram used to show that he is the Supreme Lord. Not as much as how when Krishna was here, it was very different. But Lord Ram, he always covered his identity most of the time. He was trying to show that he's an ordinary man. That was his mood. That was the mood of that incarnation. So he was like that. But once in a while, it used to show up. Like how when he gave liberation to Jatayu, he showed, I am the Supreme Lord, like that. So here, Ramchandra, he was like trying to assert that he is the Supreme Lord and no one can do anything. This is what I've decided. So he consecrated Vibhishan there itself. Now Vibhishan was fully accepted, and then Sugriva and Hanuman, they took Vibhishana and they said, okay Vibhishan, now everything is all nice. You have been given assurance by Lord Ram that you are the king. Now you have to tell us, how are we going to cross this ocean? How are we going to cross this ocean? This ocean is so huge. We have such a huge army. How are all of us going to go there now? So at that time, Vibhishan, he gave a very surprising answer to the monkeys. He said, ask Ram to surrender to Samudra Raj. Ask him to surrender to the Lord of the ocean. I'm saying this because this great ocean was actually excavated by Sagara. Sagara is the ancestor of Lord Ramachandra. He also comes in the Surya dynasty. So that's why it's called Sagara, because King Sagara had excavated the ocean. So this ocean will be inclined to be favorable to Ram, because Ram is his descendant. So here, Vibhishan says, ask Ram to do Sharanagati to the ocean. So interestingly, Sharanagati works for Vibhishan. So he's thinking the same formula will work for everyone. Because when he surrendered to Ram, he was accepted. So Vibhishan was probably thinking it's a good formula and it will work for Ram also. If Ram does Sharanagati to ocean, it will give way. But interestingly, this Sharanagati didn't work. Why didn't it work? Because Samudra Raj is not the shelter of all the three worlds. Only the Supreme Lord is the shelter of all the three worlds. So this Supreme Lord, he is the most worshipable. If he is doing Sharanagati to some mundane demigod, that won't work actually. So that's why later Ram had to show his prowess. Samudra Raj didn't give way even after Sharanagati. Only after Lord Ram chastised him, then he gave a formula, okay, build a bridge and go. So Vibhishan, but according to him, that was the idea that he gave. Anyway, after hearing the words of Vibhishan, Sugriva also advised Ram to approach the ocean and ask Samudra Raj to allow him a passage. And Ram really liked the idea. Ram said, yes, all of you are saying the right thing. Let me first surrender. Actually, if you remember, I think in the first class of Yuddhakanda or the last class of Sundarakanda, I don't remember, we were talking about Ram telling about three things that he will do. He said, somehow or the other, I will cross the ocean and bring back Sita, either by austerity, okay, because Ram will perform austerities of surrender now, or by drying up the ocean, or by building a bridge. He talks for three options. Actually, Ram will execute all three options. We will see. First, he will do austerity. First, he will try to surrender. So anyway, hearing these words of Vibhishan, Sugriva also advised Ram. And Ram really liked the idea. He also consulted with Lakshmana, because Lakshmana was also with him. And Lakshmana was also very, very happy. Both Lakshmana and Sugriva said, actually, without constructing a bridge across this ocean, we cannot reach Lanka, so if we surrender and ask Samudra Raj to give way, we can easily walk across or we can have a bridge or the problem will be solved. So let's surrender to this ocean. So then after hearing the opinion of everyone, Ram then he sat on the shore of the ocean and he covered the ocean, where he was about to sit, with blades of kusha grass. So meanwhile, as things were getting ready for Ram's trying to perform austerities towards pleasing the ocean, one demon by the name Shardula had come there near the shore of the ocean, and he was trying to spy on what was happening. He was on the side of Ramna. He had come there and he was spying on what was happening. He saw this huge monkey army, and this huge monkey army was spread over almost 10 yojanas in all directions. So when he saw all of this on the other side of the ocean, he went running to Lanka and he went and gave this information to Ravana. He said, oh, Ravana, you don't know what's happening on the other side. Everyone is getting ready. This Ram and Lakshman, they have gathered a huge army and there are so many monkeys gathered and they are sure to come and make a huge attack here. Then Shardula told Ravana, send someone and find out the details of what is happening. So then Ravana, he called a demon by the name Shuka to go and meet Sugriva as an ambassador and give Sugriva a message. So he tells the message that he wants Shuka to tell Sugriva. Ram sends him with a message as an ambassador carrying a message to Sugriva. So this Shuka, he takes the form of a bird. See, demons can change forms at will, right? So this particular demon, he took the form of a bird and he flew over the ocean and he reached the other side of the ocean at the shore where all the monkeys were waiting. So when all the monkeys saw this huge demon like bird coming there, there was a huge commotion. They began to harass him. They were trying to pull him down. They were trying to pull him down with the wings. They were jumping up and trying to catch him because they knew this is a demon and he's come as a spy. So when he was tortured like this, the Shuka was screaming out to Ram for help. He was saying, Ram, Ram, I've come here. I'm a demon, but I'm a messenger. I cannot be harmed. So because of Ram's gratefulness, Shuka gets out of danger and Ram restrains all the monkeys and allows Shuka to speak. Then Shuka gives the message of Ravana to Sugriva. This message is between Ravana and Sugriva. So Shuka is the messenger. He's giving the message of Ravana. So the message is, hey Sugriva, why are you allying with this Ram? What is your problem? Why have you come here with all of your army? Somebody carried away somebody's wife. Why are you interfering in their business? What is your problem? Why are you unnecessarily putting yourself into trouble and fighting with the demons? Just be spared, go back to Kishkindha and be happy with all your associates. Don't side with Ram and spoil everything. So hearing this, all the monkeys got so angry. And when they heard this message from Ravana, that they started forcefully attacking this bird. And they were trying to pull him apart again. And then Ram again restrained all the monkeys. Okay, all of you cool down, relax. And when this message was given from Ravana, actually Sugriva gives a very fitting reply to Ravana's message through Shuka. He says, tell this message to your king. Hey, Ravana, you're totally worthy of killing. You're not at all my companion. And you're not worthy of any sympathy. You're not a person who helped me in any way. And I just don't like you. You're Ram's enemy, so you're my enemy. And you're worthy to be killed. You should be killed and all of your associates should be killed. So he gives this message to Shuka and he tells Shuka to go and tell this message to Ravana. And then he says, I will come. We all will come with a huge army and we will reduce this entire Lanka and all of you into ashes. Who are you? You killed Jatayu. You kidnapped Sita. You don't know about the strength of Lord Ramachandra. He's sure to kill you. Go and tell this message to Ravana. So again, all the monkeys, again, they were getting very, very angry. They were pulling him down. They were plucking off his feathers. They were harassing him. They were piercing his eyes. And again, Shuka started screaming and he started telling Ram, tell them to stop. If I die, all the sins incurred by me between my birth and death will fall in your share. So funny. I mean, that's the statement that this bird makes to Ram. So he says, whatever sins I have accrued, all that will fall on your share, it seems. So that's what he says to Lord Ram. And then he tells Ram to ask all the monkeys to stop. And then finally, Ram, he totally prevents all the monkeys from killing him. And he tells everyone to cool down. And he tells, see, he has come as a messenger. Even if he's a spy, that is his intention. We all know that his intention is to spy and find out what's happening here. Even then, it's okay. He's saying that he's a messenger. So just leave him. Then after that, after this episode was over, Ram, he started spreading the sacred Darbha grass or the Kusha grass on the sea, and very respectfully joining his palms to the great ocean towards Samudra Raj with his face turned eastward. That's how you sit in meditation and or sleep. Here Ramchandra is going to recline with his arm as a pillow. So he takes that position and he waits so that he can surrender to Samudra Raj. So we'll stop here because next what happens and what happens, Samudra Raj's reaction and then how Ram chastises him and then he says, I will dry up your entire ocean and how they build a bridge. Very scientifically explained in Valmiki Ramayana how the bridge was built by Nala sorry, not Dana. Yeah, Dainala here. I'm right here. So Dainala, everything we will discuss in the next class. Again, that is an entire class by itself, the entire building of the bridge and Samudra's reaction, everything. And then we'll see how they go onto the other side of the ocean. So I'll stop here. Thank you all so much for patiently listening. If there are any corrections, please correct. Any comments, questions, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hari Hari Vol, 100 Universe Breath Vilashini Gopi for your wonderful seva, taking us in the Lila Mataji. You all are working hard, all creatures, and how blessed we are that not taking sincerely. Thank you very much for wonderful association, Breath Vilashini Gopi ki jai, Gopinath ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Vrinda Gopika Bhaskarji, such a pleasure to have you on the call. Thank you so much, Mataji. Very enthusiastic you are. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. It's beautiful, Vilasini Mataji. Very nice explanation and katha. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kamodaki Mataji.
Now we have to wait for another week.
Yes,
next day. Or we can have very. Some.
Yes, Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Unfortunately, I got on very late, so I heard very little. But I was just thinking as you were ending, I said, even though you end the Ramayana, I think you were going to have to start over again from Balakanda and begin again. Because you know how it is, it's like it's you never get tired of hearing the Ramayana. It's like, did I hear that before? Wait a minute. You know, there's so many new things you or new realizations you get as you're listening that I'm really thinking you're going to have to do this all over again in between, you know, in between Chaitanya Charitamrita, putting a little bit of a cherry by putting the Ramayana in between, you know?
Yes, Mataji. Actually, when I was thinking, we started off during last Ram Navami, right? Last year Ram Navami. And the initial idea was to do one khanda per day. So we did Balakanda on last Ram Navami, and we just tried to finish it, squeeze the entire thing in one class. And I was feeling so guilty because I felt I didn't do any justice. Like, we skipped so many parts. But then I was thinking, yeah, we are going to do one khanda per class, and we'll finish it in five classes maybe, I was thinking. But then it just didn't happen. Every khanda we have been taking five, six classes. Yeah, and I even swore that we'll finish it by next Ram Navami, but I don't think, I don't know, Mataji, because it's coming, I think, March end, right? So let's see, I don't know how Krishna wants it to go. Let's see.
He wants it to keep going just as we do.
Thank you, Mataji, thank you so much.
We don't have to stop. Keep on repeating. Like we are reading Bhagavad Gita, start and read, and then read again and again. Bhagavatam again and again. Sita Mishra, Ramayana also. We can have again.
Thank you, Kamodaki Mataji. Thank you for your blessings.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Very. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for beautiful instructions. The most important things which we can get from these pastimes. So thank you so much, Mataji, for so elaborately discussing about the topic of surrender. That is very much important for us, for reminding us what should be the qualification of us to surrender. So thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Pavitra Madhavi, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. What a beautiful class. Very nice, wonderful narration.
Shyama Gauri, Mataji. Thank you so much for joining, Mataji. So nice to hear your voice. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
So if no one else has any questions, comments, corrections, realizations.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Thank you, of course, for another beautiful installment of Ramayana. So beautifully told by you. Actually, one thing, I was just trying to remember as this, you know, what the name is as descendant of Surya and as descendant of Chandra, you know. So as descendant of Chandra, is it, do we say Raghava or?
As the descendant of the Sun Dynasty, Raghu was a king in the Sun Dynasty, so he's called as Raghava because he's a descendant of Raghu.
So, okay, so Raghava means Sun Dynasty.
Reason why Raghava means Sun Dynasty is because Raghu, King Raghu, was one of the famous kings in the Sun Dynasty. So Raghava means one who has come in the Sun Dynasty can also be called Raghava. Yeah. Because he's a descendant of Raghu, like that.
And one who has come in the Sun, in the Moon Dynasty, what do we call him?
There are so many names.
It
depends
no problem.
On who the famous king is. So,
like when I think when Krishna as part of,
Krishna was from the Sun, Moon Dynasty. That's why Ramchandra, sometimes we glorify him as the descendant of Ikshvaku. Depending on the great kings who are there, we just glorify them as that descendant. Like Kuru also, I think Chandra Dynasty I don't know.
Yeah, Chandra Dynasty.
China, yes, Mataji.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kuru, Puru, all of them were, that's why Kaurava, we say.
Yeah.
Okay, now this question, I can just, you know, either re-listen to the class, because it's just, you know, a repetition question, or, you know, if you have time, if you want to answer. But my question was just going to be, if you could have repeated the reason why Lord Ram was referred to, remember that part of the discussion? He was referred to by two names. I think one was Raghava and the other was Mahatma.
Yeah, Mahatma.
Remember that?
So, So Raghava, why he says that is because Raghava is one who has come in the Ikshvaku dynasty and he's now here present as a Kshatriya king who is very easily accessible. So one who's, that means when they're doing, these are the different qualities of the Lord. The Lord is very easily accessible to us. He's not someone whom we don't have any information about. Like, you know, we know about Krishna from Guru Sadhu Shastra. So we have enough information. Oh, Krishna is like this, his name, quality, past tense. So, and also Krishna's mood is that he easily accepts us, right? So Ramchandra is like that. He's easily approachable. You can approach him easily. He's not someone who's, you know, sitting there passing judgment. He's not going to take you. Not like that. He's very accepting. So that kind of a Lord. So that's why I'm surrendering to that kind of a Lord. That's why he addresses him as Raghava, because you're just here, you're right here for me. And then he calls him as Mahatma, meaning it's not that if the person is easily accessible, it is enough. He should be great enough, right? So he should be Mahatma. He should be so great and he should be qualified to give you surrender. So that is possible only by the Paramatma, who is the Supreme Lord. And then he calls him Sarvaloka Sharanyaya. That means you are the only shelter for everyone. There is only one person, one Supreme Lord, who can give shelter to everybody, be it the demigods or demons or humans or whoever it is. So that is possible only by one Lord, and he is Sarvaloka Sharanyaya. So he calls him by three different aspects of the Lord. The Lord is approachable. At the same time, he is great. At the same time, he is the only object of surrender. So that's how he frames his sentence.
He said the only object of surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said that when he's referred to as Raghava, it means he's so accessible, but the name itself does not mean that, right? It's just that it just happens to be one of his qualities that he's
yes, you're right.
He's acceptable because he's accessible because he He accepts us very easily without judgment and so on.
Yeah, so that is an like understanding of that. Raghava means because he's just he's descended in the very accessible Ikshvaku dynasty. For Vibhishan, he's right there, right? Like he's just like he's not sitting there in Vaikuntha or in spiritual Ayodhya Dham. He's come down for him, so he's very accessible. How did he come down? He came down in the Ikshvaku dynasty as Raghava.
So it means that they're just, you know, they're occupying the same space.
For him, yes.
Yeah, I mean, for him, he's more. For us, it's not really that way. Because
for us, we understand it because the law is actually accessible, like in deity form and so many other ways, Krishna is so easily accessible. But still, he's great like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even for us, Krishna is very easily accessible in the form of his deity or in the form of his name, quality, past tense, in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, holy names,
mm-hmm.
so like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's how we understand it, like for our, in our case.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Priti Lasmi Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, please add.
Okay. There was also one celebrated king named Raghu.
Raghu.
From Raghav.
Yeah, that's why he's called Raghava.
Yes.
Because he was descendant of Raghu. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes more sense now. Because, you know, I couldn't connect the name Raghava to Ikshvaku, you know. But
yeah,
he's
a descendant of Raghu. That's why he's called Raghava. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But, and Raghu, he was descendant. Was he direct descendant of Ikshvaku?
No, I think it will be there in Bhagavatam. I don't know after how many generations he came.
But anyway, there was some, he was descendant either close or distant from Ikshvaku.
Mm, yeah,
Raghu.
He was very close to it. Yeah.
Uh-huh, okay.
And there's another name also, Raghunath, also.
Mm.
Ramchandra is also, this is Raghunath.
Raghunath, Raghuram, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah, right. I remember hearing that name too, Raghunath. So, is it, I guess King Raghu, he was very famous for something in order for Ramchandra to be like kind of named.
So much named after him, right? Yeah. Kamadiki Mataji, you have any reason why particularly Raghu?
I don't know, but he's highly celebrated then among the other kings. Like Harishchandra, also he also was in the Sun dynasty.
Mm.
So then, so many different kings were there, but I have forgotten all the names. There are so many.
Yeah, but we were wondering how come, you know, out of all the descendants of Surya, why he, you know, why King Raghu was given this honor by Ramchandra getting this kind of name, you know, that was like honoring him, his kingdom.
It's, you know, like it's come in a, somehow he stands out, so maybe for that.
Yeah, that's why we're wondering, how come he stands out, you know, what is it about his...
That is, we have to find out from him.
Yeah, we have to...
Somebody can find about the King Raghu, then we may know, but... I don't know. Srivilasini Mataji, she's very good in going in computer and find out. Maybe she can do that.
I was actually trying to do that now. Yeah, I should be in the ninth canto. I'm just trying to figure it out. But I'll probably send it as a link or something in a few minutes if I find it. It should be in the ninth canto. Something about Raghu, why he's important. Yeah.
Mm. Because... I don't know if you have seen that Ramayana by Ramananda Sagar.
Uh-huh.
So then they have this, when they come, after Ram gets married and they comes with the Sita Devi to Ayodhya. So they are taken to that whole big kind of temple hall. There's a sun god and then all the celebrated kings are there. What do you call a deity or whatever you call it, this, were there. in a form. They are not present in the same body, but for the effigy of
worship.
And they have the ancestors there. So there's different ancestors there.
So because I just...
it will stand out for truthful, you know?
Yeah.
So like that, it's different things. Wonderful. So Srila Mata is very good.
So I just saw this verse, Canto 9, Chapter 10, Verse 1. It just says, Shukadev Goswami said, the son of Maharaj Khatwanga was Dhirga Bahu, and his son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja, from Aja, Maharaj Dasharath.
Yeah.
So, celebrated Raghu, it says, but it doesn't say celebrated for what.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the only thing I'm able to say in Bhagavatam. So maybe it could be like how Kamodaki Mataji was saying, he could be known for a particular quality, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, Mataji, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Very nice to chant the nectar. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you all so much. So if no one else has any questions or comments, we can end the class. Vancha kalpataru gyashtra klubha sindhu bhevacha padhiravanam bhavane vyo vaishnavi
vyo namo. Wait, Prakma, I will go. Hare Krishna.
Vancha kalpataru gyashtra klubha sindhu bhevacha padhiravanam bhavane vyo vaishnavi vyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnav vrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Valmiki Ramayana ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, and Priti Vilasini Gopi ki. Jai ho!
Ananta Koti Vaishnavandaki. Hare Krishna.